gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.
It's been wonderful. We are seeing some of our prayers to be answered. We are seeing the first word. Isn't that great? That's absolutely wonderful. I want you to know that regardless of how much we do for God, there's still more that can be done. That he retired from preaching. And when he retired, he quit coming to worship service. And so after going to worship service for 7 weeks, the eldership went to him and said, "Well, you know, what's wrong?" He said, "You don't understand, I'm retired." We are retired. It doesn't happen. Regardless of how old you are or what you think you're capable of being or whatever, you still are not retired. What can stop is when Jesus looks at us face to face and says, "Well done." That's when we can be finished. But to happen, we still need to go. And if you get to the point, as we're learning about, where she was physically unable to really get up and do anything, she was literally bedridden. She couldn't get from one room to the chair, to the bathroom, and get out of the hall. But she got to that point. She made a comment to me. She says, "I don't know how you're doing. Of course, I told her I told you, but I don't know. That's why she's still around." Of course, she hit me with things when I said that. But one of the things I was with her is I said, "Man, you can still be praying. As long as you're holding your hand, as long as you're capable, you can still be praying." And every one of us, 100% of us, need your prayers. Without a doubt, that's why we need your prayers. We need your prayers. We need the prayers of one another. And never forget that when you pray, you are calling upon the Creator of the universe. All things are possible through Him. And so, therefore, there is something for you to do. You, here today, raise me up. I'm talking about you personally. You raise me up. You encourage me. You nourish me. And you help me personally to do better. You try to do that. By what you say, by what you do, the fact that you're here, you are helping me to do better. You're helping me to become better. Now, last night, Kathy and I were having to have dinner with a couple of people from this congregation. I won't tell you how many of my neighbors, David and Teresa Hurlacher. State and all the things that they have done, and you know how to remember this. You really feel bad. Why not? Because I realized after talking to them, that's why I'm doing. promise, there's more I could be doing. There's more I could be doing. I don't have to watch my own thing every time it comes off.
The only one that remembers, raise your hand.
took my body, that was the end of death. How about that, son? Was it? Never. You can't let that happen. You gotta take it and do it all. Remember, every line that is written in the New Testament was written, and we talked about this last night, it was written to specific congregations. It was not written to people out in the world, was it? It was addressing the needs of that specific congregation. And every one of them was how we can do better. And so when I listen to these guys, and I love this kind of vision, I don't believe in it, it's just an imagination. I absolutely love this kind of vision, because I can't really have any discussion this morning, I don't know why I'm here, but I don't believe we can get any of these in time for our congregation. Speaking the truth. And sometimes it's
I want you to know this, and I want you to understand it. Sometimes the truth is hard to hear. But I can tell you this. John 3:5 tells you point blank that unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's no argument there. And there's none for me. That's what the scripture says, therefore, that's what it is. Baptism now saves you. 1 Peter 3:21. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. Because if you're not, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, understand, that's hard for people to hear. But I also don't understand why people argue about that. If it was important enough for Jesus himself to be baptized, then guess what? It's important enough for you. So that's part of speaking the truth. Speak the truth always. Second, verse 26. Be angry, but do not sin. Yeah. I want you to understand something. I am one-quarter Cherokee Indian. I am three-quarters Irish. For 16 years, I can get mad. I was a coach for 27 years, or 27 seasons, I should say. I can get mad. Angry. But understand, your anger is something you need to control. To the point of, be angry, but do not sin. Is an emotion that has been given to us by God. Here's a question for you. Did Jesus get angry? I guarantee you, when he was stepping over those tables and took that money down and started eating that water out of the temple, he was angry. He was throwing what we call a conviction. He was driving these money changers out of the temple. But understand something. He was angry and did not sin. His anger was righteous anger. He was angry because they were disgracing God. You see that? Jesus. Did Jesus get angry when they mocked him? Did Jesus get angry when they beat him? Did Jesus get angry when they hung him on the cross? No, is the answer. But what Jesus did there was he asked God to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, could you have done that? You probably would have agreed the first time I hit me with that came down days, I've been calling down those 12 legions of angels. That would have ended that. Now, realize, Jesus' anger was righteous anger. And you can have righteous anger. You can be angry when somebody does something to somebody else and harms them. You can be angry about that. But understand, you must do it in a manner that you do not sin. It's how you handle the anger is the issue. Not the fact that you got angry, because anger is a trait that we all have. That we all have. Even little babies have that. Because if you have an angry little baby, you understand there's three types of cries. There's the angry cry, there's the I'm in pain cry, and then there's the angry cry. And as a parent, you learn which one's which. You find out. When they're angry, when they're hungry, or when they're in pain or suffering in some way. You understand that. Folks, you can be angry. Just don't sin. All right? Number three. Verse 27, Hebrews chapter 4. And do not give the devil an opportunity. In other words, as Christian people, we need to continually resist Satan. What happens when we resist Satan? He does what? He flees from us. He flees from us. He runs from us. That is a gift that has been given to us by God. And if you resist Satan, you run away from us. Part of resisting Satan is this: knowing what tempts you. Folks, if it tempts you to do something, then don't do that. If it causes you problems, watching some kind of TV show that you watch, you can watch that TV show. If being around certain people causes you to act the wrong way, then don't be around those people. I love our group that comes together on Monday nights and plays pickleball. I absolutely love them. It's fun, isn't it? We have a good time, we play together, and you know what, we compete. We have fun competing. And when we lose, we tell the other person it's a good job. And if you make a good shot, I've got to win this and I'm winning it. And now I don't have to win any shots anymore. That's the wrong thing to do, isn't it, Jerry? Self-preservation is more important than competition. I just don't get that. So realize, understand, us coming together on this morning now is our third thing. We have good fellowship. We get to know each other. We get to pick up one another. And we pick back at us. Because all the things that we can learn, and we learn here, that you can be surrounded by good Christian people who want to be watched out, and you don't have to do that with non-Christian people using foul language and doing things that will cause you to fall in that category. I can tell you this, if you mix non-Christian people with Christian people, something that we used to know in education, we used to think, well, you take a low performing school and you put it with a high performing school, but either something a low performing school and become a high performing school, that is not the case. What the case actually turned out to be is that a high performing school became a low performing school. Just like the other one. That's what truly happened. But then it was only one of them up. That's why we are told to not be unequally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked. Bring your brother or sister with you to keep you in line, to help you stay in line. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And as I told you before, if at any time you need me to go with with you to talk to somebody, all you have to do is give me a call and I will be there. Happened this week. I'll come and be with you. So realize, you don't have to be alone. You have help. You have help. All right? Notice this one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. The one who steals must no longer steal. Now, I'm not suggesting that anybody here steals. Not suggesting that at all. But what I am suggesting is this. We all need to repent. What is repentance? It's turning away from. It's not doing what we were doing before. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I don't do those things anymore. I've stopped that. I've repented of that. I am not going to do it anymore. And folks, I want you to know that sometimes even when you desire to repent, even when you say, I'm not going to do it anymore, sometimes you stop and you do it. Last week, I said 7 guys, and then they attacked me and said 21.
Don't let that go.
Well, I don't let it go. But I want you to know what I thought about the morning, and I actually went in the morning, and he said, I researched that. I said to the man, and he said, why? He said, sometimes it takes 66 days. It depends on what it is that you're trying to make a new habit. Sometimes it happens really quickly, sometimes it happens really late, and I said 66 miles as if I'm not changing nothing. 66 miles! That's a long time! That's a long time! Folks, you can buy that. I'm trying to lose 20 pounds or 50 pounds or 100 pounds or whatever it is you're trying to lose. You can buy that, and you may be successful for a little while. But I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something. You will slip, and you will have that piece of apple pie. But just because you slipped and had that piece of apple pie doesn't mean that you have to gnaw from the gnaw and I have to have a piece of apple pie. I can get off of that and start again. Your parents is part of that. Because if you truly don't want to do something, and you realize you need to turn away from something, and you slip and you do it, you can put that aside and start again. You can start again. Now that's a blessing that's given to us by God, is it not? We can start again. So to repent of something means to put it away. But even if you slip, you can put it away again and say, I'm not going to do that again. And strive your best, to not do it again. But always remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? That's why we have forgiveness. We do what we can. Grace and forgiveness takes the rest. All right? Second part of that same verse. You need, as Christian people, to be given people. Now, that doesn't mean to give more than what you have. None of us can do that. But what you do have, you should share it with others. And I'm not just talking physical, I'm also talking spiritual. I'm talking in every way we should share with other people. Helping others along the way. and you don't realize what seed you are planting every time you help someone. You don't realize it. I'll never forget this. As long as I live, it was snowing. And you know what I mean here when it's snowing? There's no plows. There's no way to get the snow off the road. When it starts snowing, it's snowing. And it was snowing hard, and it was even hard to see. The windshield wrappers would go back and forth, and they would freeze up on the windshield. You don't have a seat. You don't know what I'm talking about. You can't even have a seat in front of you. And I was going up this long hill. Now, the grade wasn't very steep, but the hill itself was long. And I didn't have a four-wheel drive. I had a little sports car. Now, a sports car is not meant for that. And so I went about halfway up the hill, and that was as far as she's going. So much so that I started sliding back down the other side of the hill, the back side, so sliding backwards. And I couldn't get her stopped until I got to the bottom of the hill. And then it stopped. Now, I told you that story because there was an individual that drove by in a big, really massive truck, four-wheel drive. And he pulled up his arms and he said, "You need some help?" I said, "Yes, you do." And so he got out of the truck and he hooked on the chain in the back of his truck, hooked on the chain in the front of my car, and up the hill and went. We took me all the way to the top of the hill and everything like that. And he got out and I hooked the chain. And I looked at him and I said, "Well, I'm paying it. I don't have any money. I didn't pay it." And I said, "He's not going to come out of me. I don't have any cash on me at all." He said, "That's okay. So God's going to pay me all I need." I'll never forget that. And then I was about 17, 18 years old. And that was a long time ago. But I'll never forget that. Because the statement is exactly right. Don't worry about receiving something here on this earth. Concentrate on where your treasures truly are. For our treasures are truly in heaven. And so if we can help someone along the way, then maybe we're planting a seed with that person. And I know that person never thought that I would stand up before the altar today and tell that story. I really never thought about that. But his statement's exactly correct. Our treasures are in heaven. God is going to give us our treasure, our reward in heaven. And therefore, while we're here on this earth, we should strive to help and serve one another. Any way that we can. Any way that we're able. And if that means just praying and just praying for us and do some justice for that, because prayer is power. Is power. Ephesians 4:29 tells us this, that we should not use any unwholesome words. That means bad words, foul words. Don't use those words. That's part of our whole thing we're not sinning, by the way, just FYI. We're changing each other when the Razorbacks get behind. That just happened. Don't do those things, but understand this too. An unwholesome word is a word that condemns people. An unwholesome word is a word that puts somebody down. Understand something. And I want to make this point very clear. it does not matter what sins you have committed in your past. Because 100% of those sins can be washed away. It does not matter. What matters is what you're going to do from this point forward. Those sins of your past are gone. They are cleansed. They are erased from you. You don't have to worry about those. Focus on what's in front. And realize that with everyone you come in contact with. Because no matter what they've done in their past, no matter what kind of sin they've committed, I want you to understand something. They can be forgiven just like you can. And so when you hear the forgiving words of Jesus Christ, they will be hearing the plan of salvation. Because that plan is for them, just like it is for you. And they don't care what's in the past. What I care about is where we go from here. And where we go from here shall we find the Word of God. Anyway. Also, instead of cutting each other down, we should build each other up. And one of the reasons we're building each other up is by telling them, you know, I don't care what you've done in your past. And I can honestly say that. I really do not care what you've done in your past. I really do not. But I do care where you are now. I do care where you're going. So if I'm going to edify somebody, I'm going to tell them, just like what I was telling you just a second ago, I said, you know what? You can be forgiven of all that. You can have a peace with God in heaven. Let me show you what you need to do. Build each other up. Encourage each other. And that's one of the things that I love about this congregation, of how we do that. We do build each other up. We do encourage one another. We do help each other along the way. And folks, we need to continue to do it. Everywhere we can. Our visitors, our members, our preachers, our elders, everybody. Let's build them up and work with them. Don't forget, you are the light of the world. Don't forget that. There are people that the only light they see is you. The only light that they see in their lifetime is you. The only way that they see God is through you. Never forget, ever, that people watch you. And how you act as a Christian will do one of two things. It will draw people to God, or it will push people away from God. Therefore, we must follow exactly what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples of every nation. Everyone. Because there's not one person out there that Jesus did not die for. There's not one person out there that doesn't have a soul. Everyone has a soul. Everyone needs to hear the plan of salvation. Everyone needs to come to God. Folks, that is through you. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify God because of them. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we want to give you that opportunity right now to come. All together we stand.